Hi guys, welcome to Life Under the Rainbow. And if you don't know me, my name's Belle. I'm going to be doing real talk about real life and always with a sprinkle of rainbows. Welcome back to the podcast. I know I said that I was going to do Luke's journey today. However, things have changed slightly because I am traveling at the moment. I'm currently in Bali after spending a month in Australia, and I don't have the mental capacity at the moment to go. Luke's journey, that story is going to be quite a long one. It probably might even have to be over two parts because it's like 2 years of our life. So I just thought while I'm away, I would do a bit more of a chatty one, a bit of a Q&A, update you on where I'm at and what's kind of happening at the moment. There's been some really, really good questions come through, so it'll be nice to answer those for you all. And just share a little bit about where I'm at and how life is going without Luke, basically. Because it's just a crazy, crazy journey. I still don't understand it. And I feel like being in a place like Bali somehow makes it even more surreal, because it's like you're in this amazing tropical paradise, yet you've still got this massive reality hanging over you, and these feelings and these emotions and all this grief and anger and upset and hurt. And then you sit here and you think, I should be so grateful that I'm here. And I am so grateful that I'm here. But I also cry a lot. But that's okay. And that's normal. And it needs to be normalized. So we're just over 3 months now since Luke died. And time scales, to me, just don't make sense. Like, in one regard, it feels like years and years and years and years, like a whole entire lifetime since I last heard his voice, since I last stroked his face, since I last was in his presence. Like, that feels like fucking forever. How has it been 3 months? And then in the same breath, like, when I think about it, to put myself back in that moment when that happened and the whole situation occurred and we were saying goodbye and all of that horrible crap, I can go back to that place like it was yesterday. So it's hard to describe how the timing feels. And I feel like each milestone, like each month gets even, those feelings get even weirder. And it's like you're just taking away the months, and you know, the months are going to turn into years, and then it's just a forever without him. And how crazy and just horrific is that? Yeah, I miss him a bloody lot. I miss him so, so, so much. Just all the little things and the big things and all the medium things. I miss all the things. I miss him annoying me. I miss him putting junk in random drawers and waiting for me to find it. That was his idea of tidying up. Being on holiday is tough because there's lots of couples, lots of people are together. I feel like when I was, yeah, if you don't know, I've come away. I left in the middle of May, about 2 months after Luke died, and I went to Western Australia. I've got lots of family there, so it was that middle ground between like getting away from home, but also still being around people. And that was really, really good for me. I kind of didn't treat it as a holiday as such. It was more just like existing and living over there. After spending such a long time in a hospital environment, you lose a lot of normality. So to just be able to drive to the shops and do my shopping when I was in Australia, or do a load of washing, like those little things are the things that I was looking forward to. But obviously in Australia at the moment, it's a little bit out of season, so it was a bit cold. It was like, when I first got there, we had some really, really good days. To be fair, the weather was lovely, but the longer I was there, the more it was dropping to like the mid-teens kind of temperatures. And everybody in England, well, Nottingham specifically, where I'm from, in 28, 30 degree heat. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? This is not okay. I'm the other side of the world in Australia, and I've got a jumper on, and you guys are all getting sunburned. So I thought I want to go somewhere warm. Like, you can't beat that feeling of that warm holiday heat, just chilling by the pool. It's just a feeling like no other, isn't it? So when you're in Western Australia, Bali is a little country in Indonesia, an island even, and it's only 4 hours away. So I thought I'd book a flight there. The flights are super cheap. It's super cheap to be here. You can honestly get through in pennies. Like, to be fair, a good example, I've sat here, ordered myself a Starbucks on Grab, which is the equivalent of like Uber Eats, and it cost me £5 for the Starbucks and the delivery. Like, at home, you'd be paying at least £8, £9 to get a Deliveroo to your house with the Starbucks. So, not too bad. And I got a Grab scooter home last night, and it was a good, it would have been a 25-minute walk, and it cost me £2. But you have to get like on the back of a guy's moped. And honestly, the street to get to my villa is the most narrow, twisty, turny, bumpy little thing. I feared for my life. I was very close to meeting Luke at some of these points, to be honest, because I thought there was no way I'm making it out of here alive. It's just crazy. Bali, beautiful, amazing. Would recommend it to everyone. It's such a beautiful, beautiful place. I got here on Monday and it's now Friday, so I've been here 5 days now. It's such a different lifestyle. The only thing that I have found that I have struggled with is it's quite overstimulating. And what I mean by that is there's no escape from the chaos, basically. It's a very fast-paced city kind of, it's just crazy vibes. Like, everybody rides scooters and cars, everybody's honking the horns. There's no rhyme or reason to the traffic or the driving or anything. So you can't even just like drive down the street, especially compared to Australia. Like, Australia is such a chill place, so cruisy, everything's just barely ever traffic, like when you're driving up the highways and stuff. And then to come here, and like when you go out, everybody is talking to you, everyone is so friendly, like so friendly. Don't get me wrong, there's people that are trying to sell you stuff as well, but they're still very polite. There's, you know, you walk down the street and everybody's like, do you want to go on the scooter? Do you want a bike? So offering you rides places. And obviously you just politely decline. But because I'm traveling solo, I feel the need to be even nicer to people. Like, I don't know if this is gonna make sense, but just for like my own safety, I feel like, because I've got a bitch face, not that you can see, I have got the worst resting bitch face that you will probably ever come across in your life. So sometimes I can say, oh no, thank you, and literally look like I want to murder you. So I feel like when I'm declining the offers of these people, I have to be so friendly, like really exaggerate my smile and be like, oh, thank you so much, but like, I'm good, just because I don't want to get grabbed and murdered. I mean, and I know that's just like, that is not me being judgmental. That would be me in any situation, just because you hear so many horror stories. So there's always like in the back of my mind when I'm on my own, like, you're quite vulnerable because you are, you're so vulnerable. But it, I have never felt unsafe while I've been here. I've had like thoughts in my mind where I think, this is a bit, you know, something really bad could happen, but I know that's just my brain rather than the actual situation being scary or intimidating or anything like that. It's just my brain overthinking. It can be overstimulating, but also the places that I've chosen to stay have all been very secluded. So when I want that tranquility, I can just come to my villa. So I had 2 nights in Seminyak at a beach hotel called Potato Head. That was beautiful. I booked that because I'd seen it recommended on a couple of different avenues, a couple of podcasts and some TikTok videos. It is a 5-star hotel, and I just wanted that security, knowing that I was coming to this new country for the first time. I would be able to get picked up from the airport, dropped off at my hotel, bish bash bosh. It's nice and simple. You've got your breakfast, you've got your dinners there. It was just easy. And it was really nice. The beach club was lovely. The actual beach club part was quite busy, but the hotel had a slightly separate part where it was more just for the guests, so that was quite chill. I spent like one day just sunbathing, got quite burnt, which isn't ideal, but you know. And then I got a driver to my second accommodation, which was a tree house. You all saw the pictures and videos. That was just, oh my word, it was absolutely incredible. Like, that is a dream to stay at a place like that. It was so beautiful. You got the day beds, the hammocks, the little like net bit. That kind of hurt your feet though. That was like the nets that you get at the soft play, and your kids are dragging you up the bloody soft play frame, and your feet feel like they're gonna be cut in half, honestly. That was so beautiful. If you can come to Bali, go and stay in a tree house just for one night. I did get a couple of mozzie bites though, but worth it, worth it. And all the food that they bring, like I had breakfast there, fresh fruit and pancakes, and it's just so juicy and lovely and just oh, so yummy. I absolutely love it. And with that hotel, well, not hotel, tree house, I had a driver, and they just like set a price, or they'll just say this trip will be this much. And he was so sweet. He was literally driving me around everywhere. He took me for dinner and he just waited outside. Like, I texted him when I was having my dessert and I was like, oh, you know, like I'm just finishing up soon, so love it. And he was like, oh, I'm waiting outside for you. I've been waiting for you. I was like, oh my God, bless him. Like, if I'd have known that, I would have invited him in for dinner. What a sweetheart. And then the next day when I was moving, because I only got one night in the tree house because it's just so popular that it books up so quick. There was only literally one secluded night. I would have stayed there for longer though because it was unreal. So yeah, the next day he was driving me to my next accommodation, and he took me on like the swings, and he took me to a coffee plantation, and he literally charged me 600,000 rupees, which is about £30. And he honestly drove me so far. He must have spent about 4 hours, so he did give him a bit more. And he's like, offered, he said, like, keep my number, and if you want me to take you anywhere, just text me. Okay, thank you. I love you. You're so sweet. And then now I'm in Ubud, which is one of the main, like, foresty, it's more inland. It's where like the monkey forest is and stuff. But I've heard so many horror stories about the monkeys that I kind of don't want to go. I'm like, I should tick, it would be a good thing to like tick off the list and say you've done it. But apparently the monkeys are fucking evil. So to just go into a forest where there's hundreds of monkeys everywhere, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. Yes, I'm going to Uluwatu. I'm going to Uluwatu tomorrow. I'm gonna spend, I think it's 2 nights there, and then I've got a another like once in a lifetime accommodation. If you listened to the last episode or keep up to date with my Instagram stories, you would know that if mine and Luke's anniversary next week, the 27th of June, so it would be our 1 year wedding anniversary. It would be, it still is our 1 year anniversary. Don't know why I'm using past tense. So I've booked a, it's basically a bubble. I can't describe it in any other way. It's a bubble on the beach or the pool, and you're literally on sand. It just looks unreal. And yeah, the accommodations like this, they're a little bit pricier. The thing is as well, when you're solo traveling, you're generally paying for two people. So like the treehouse that I stayed in was on the pricier side, but you could have slept four people there. And the price didn't change because it was just me staying there. So if you'd have split that between four people, you would have been absolutely laughing. But paying for it for one person, it is a bit expensive. But like I say, money to me actually doesn't mean anything right now, which is kind of bad sometimes because I do spend it like it's going out of fashion. However, I know that that money will come back, but this time will never come back, and these experiences will never come back. So if I want to pay a little bit more for one night in somewhere absolutely breathtaking, I will fucking do it. And yeah, after that, I don't actually have any accommodation booked after that anniversary day. I just wanted to kind of get the lay of the land and work out where I preferred best, because all the different little towns and cities have different vibes. And I met some girls last night who were so lovely. We went out to a beach club together and had some drinks and cocktails and food and stuff. And that's the thing with solo traveling, like there's always the potential that you could like meet people and maybe they've got an idea and they say, oh, do you want to come to this? So I didn't want to have anything too set in stone. Again, like I've said from day dot, I didn't also want to book anything because there's so many reasons I could have to go home. And also for my own sanity, like if I'm feeling overwhelmed or lost or anything like that, then I can just go home if I want to. There's no pressure, there's no risk of losing a lot of money. Say if I booked all my flights that I want to do, like I said, I've got a rough itinerary of what I'm doing, but there's no point booking anything. The prices aren't going to fluctuate that much. There's always accommodation, hotels, villas and stuff, so it's not like I'm going to miss out or find myself with nowhere to stay. Like it's just not going to happen. So I'm just being very a bit blasé with it, but I'm quite liking how it's going so far. And like I said, there's just no pressure, which is nice. In terms of like the grief and how I'm dealing since I've been more solo, because like I said, when I was in Australia, I was around a lot of family. Australia is very similar to England in so many ways. So you're not getting used to a new what like way of living. It's kind of just you're the other side of the world, but everything is pretty standard. Bali is obviously completely different. You don't have a lot of like your home comforts. Like I don't have a lot of my luggage with me, which is kind of weird. Like I've only been able to bring a couple of bits that remind me of Luke, whereas in my main luggage, I had like his big blanket, two of his blankets, the one with his face on, and his blanket. I've only brought one of my bunnies. Breaks my heart. So, like, just like the little things like that to do with Luke are quite difficult. And I always have in the back of my head, like, what if they get lost? What if? Oh, it makes me so paranoid because I had too much luggage. So, I'm sending some directly to Sydney, which is where I'm going to end up before I go home. Since I've been on my own, I have struggled more though. In terms of being in my own thoughts and being in my own head, like I've cried quite a bit since I've been away. But that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. And I think I need that. And I need to be able to cry, feel all this upset, and pick myself back up again, if that makes sense. And not rely on a distraction like going out or anything like that. It's just like, let the tears out. Let the emotions come out, think about it, cry about it, and then be like, right, okay, I'm upset. How can we, let's acknowledge that. And it helps it to, like I say, feel acknowledged and feel, I just wasn't kidding myself thinking I was going to come here and be in this tropical paradise and have the most amazing, best time of my life. Yeah, but it's fucking incredible. It's beautiful. I'm sat here now filming this podcast. I'm looking out to the pool and all of this like green, amazing scenery, and it's just beautiful. What an absolute place to be. How amazing is that? I'm here. But I haven't got my person. I have not got my person. There's been so many times when it's been so apparent that he's not here. Like so many situations. Just like being on sun lounges or going out for dinner. In every scenario, I think how different it would be if he was here with me, and he should be here. Like, he would be in awe of these places. He would absolutely love it here. And we had so many like dreams and goals to do all of this, and it's just so unfair that he doesn't get to experience this. Like, everyone should get the opportunity to go out, to travel and to see the world and to spend their life with the person that they love, and he didn't get that. And life is so short, like people say it all the time. They rarely say it all the time, and you're just like, yeah, life is short, life is so precious, but life is so fucking precious. And people spend their lives like unhappy or slaving away doing the same mundane shit, you know. And people are so ungrateful for their life and so ungrateful for their love and everything that they have around them. This is just a reality check for everyone out there. Go and hug your partner, go and hug your parents, go and hug the people that you love, tell them that you love them. Book that fucking holiday, go and fucking do it. Honestly, last year, me and Luke, we had some money, we came in some money, and we were like, oh, let's save it, let's save it. We can put it towards, because we were always planning to move into a bigger house. We can put it towards the bigger house. We can, you know, have a big deposit together, or we can like save it, a bit of it that doesn't need to go down for the deposit, and we can decorate the house exactly how we want it. We can buy a new sofa, we can do a new TV, like all of that stuff. And then little by little, we started like thinking, oh, well, we could just do a holiday, or we could put it towards getting married and all of that other stuff that was more experiences. And I'm a very much like a settle down person. So at some point, I was like, right, I feel like, not that we're wasting the money, because that's not true at all, but sometimes we'll be like, oh, maybe we need to just like make sure we keep this much aside for those plans that we have with the house and moving and stuff. And it didn't happen. We ended up spending way more on the wedding than we wanted to. We booked the holiday to Tenerife. We went to Wales. We did so much. And holy shit, I'm so fucking grateful. Like, that money gave us the opportunity to experience life. And I know not everybody has, you know, it's not as simple as just going out and booking shit. But the things that you think are so important, like your house and your mortgage and your car and your job and all those things, they're just not. They're just not. I would live in a bin bag in a ditch if it meant I got to be with my person. I truly would. None of that materialistic stuff matters. Gosh, the tears. I've literally been crying for this entire podcast. What the fuck? The point of that is be grateful. Be grateful for where you're at now. Like, I have so much to be angry at the world for, and I have so much to be heartbroken about, but so many reasons to give up. I'm just so grateful that I'm here and that I can continue to live my life and I have all these opportunities. It's hard to do that when you feel so let down by the world and question why this could happen and how this could happen. But also, you just have to keep your perspective in line that I'm also so lucky to have this life. I'm so lucky to have been that loved. I'm so lucky to feel all this pain, because all this pain is a reminder of all that love, and it is all that love still. Luke would want me to go and do everything for us both. He wouldn't want me to sit away and hide away, and I don't know. I just know I want to make him proud, and I want to go out and try and make the most amazing memories so I can look back one day and think, oh, I'm so glad I did that. And a big thing that I've realised in one of my sad epiphanies a day or two ago, the biggest thing that I'm struggling with, not the biggest thing, but one of the main things I'm struggling with, is just not feeling like I belong. When you have a partner, a life partner, a husband, a fiance, a soulmate, whatever they are to you, you instantly feel at home. Home to me has never been a place. I mean, it probably was at some point, but over the past few years, home is not a place. I think that's why I was able to sell my house so easily, because a lot of people said to me, like, how are you selling your house? How are you selling your place where you and Luke have all those memories? Like, how are you selling your home? And I think I've come to realize that that wasn't my home. They were four walls that protected me, and they protected my home. But my home was Luke. So I feel lost, and I think that's why I don't like the term run away, but people have described it as run away from that, because I have had no control over my life for so long now, what, 6 months, maybe more. And that was something I was able to control. I was able to make the decision to sell that property, and I was able to make the decision to come away, and I was able to make the decision to be on my own. Whereas had I have stayed in Nottingham, I would have been alone through not a choice of my own. I would have had to deal with a lot of stuff, not knowing my place in the world. And I feel like when you're in a place where you've had such, I don't know how to explain it, but when I'm traveling in Australia, Bali, all these weird places, like I'm learning how to live here, like I've never done it before, I've never experienced it before, it's new. So I'm also learning that, and then learning how to navigate life without Luke. Whereas at home, I know how to live at home, I know how to go to shops, I know my directions around, I know my car, I know my friends, I know my people. So the only thing I'm learning is how to not live with Luke. So that makes that part of it so apparent and such a smack in the face. Whereas when you're in another country, it kind of softens the blow in the weirdest way possible. I hope that makes sense. I don't know if I'm doing a very good job at explaining it. Sometimes you deal with things in grief that you literally just cannot put into words unless somebody has been through something extremely, extremely similar. And I know grief is so different for so many people. Like, there could be 10 people lined up who have all lost their husband, who are all my age, and we're going through something completely different. Like, nothing is the same. And that's one piece of advice. Please don't ever compare your grief to somebody else's. Like, and I know TikTok is not the place to give a good example, because people on TikTok, I've had so many people on TikTok say, "Oh, I understand what you're feeling. So and so died." And I'm like, "No, you don't understand what I'm feeling." And I know that they're trying to be kind, and I know it's coming from a place of compassion, but it doesn't make me feel any better. And I have been very mindful to never say that to anyone, even if they are going through something extremely similar. Because although it might be a similar situation, I ain't got the fucking hell in clue what they're going through. I cannot put myself in their shoes. Their relationship with that person could have been completely different. Their story about how that person passed away is completely different. Like, for example, the grief that I have compared to somebody's grief who, although Luke wasn't expected to die, he was very sick for a very long time. That comes with its own host of grief. And then compared to somebody who perhaps died unexpectedly, like the raw shock of that. I mean, Luke died unexpectedly as well. So, do you know what I mean? But there's so many variables to every situation that you can never say you, "Oh, I understand what you're going through." No, you don't. No, you really don't. There might be, there might be understandings of the grieving process, and so many people understand that, and there are so many similarities and stuff. So it's good to talk about it and share it and be open with it. That's why I try and do this podcast, because I've never been in a situation like this before, and it's just so intense. So yeah, my little rough plan, itinerary, whatever you might call it. I'm in Bali now. I'm gonna stay here for till the beginning of July, so another 10 days or so. And then I'm planning to go to Thailand. My great aunties are going to Thailand, so I'd be able to cross over with them again. My great aunties from Australia, so that would be really nice to stay with them for a little bit. And then about mid-July, I'm gonna go to Not 100% decided, but I want to go to the east coast of Australia. I was going to do Brisbane, then Sydney. However, I might just do Sydney and come back and do Brisbane at another time, just because it would add quite a lot of expense in to do the extra flying, and I wouldn't have that much time in Brisbane, and it would be won't be season there, and the places that I want to go in Brisbane would just be so much better when it's hot. But then I'm also in the back of my head like, life's so fucking short. You're right there. Go and do it. So not 100% sure yet. Like I say, not booked anything. Won't be booking anything until literally the days before I fly. There's been a couple of moments only recently where I've thought I could just go home. I just want to go back to Nottingham. I want to go hug my friends. But then also I get that thought in my head like, you're here. Don't be stupid. You're okay. You can pull yourself out of this. Let's fucking go. One time I felt like that was yesterday and it was bad, bad. Like I was like, I'm going home. But that was because like of an outside factor. It wasn't just my grief. It was an uncontrollable situation that triggered that feeling. Once I processed that, I felt better about that. And I knew that I was just being a bit irrational, like wanting to go home. But I just like longed for my friends, I think, because nobody was really awake as well when I was dealing with that emotion. I was completely isolated because of the time difference. So it wasn't even just like I could ring people when I was feeling like that. I could have done. They would have answered the phone, but I was not waking anyone up just to cry to them. Yeah, and then hopefully get myself to Sydney. That's like a definite on the list. And then go back to England for the beginning of August. And my new house will be ready to move into, hopefully. And got quite a lot of things to tie up when I get home. I know how different it's going to be when I get home. I feel like I'm almost going to lose him all over again. I lose him every day. Like, genuinely, there's not a day goes by where he doesn't die again in my head. Like, that feeling, that chest pain, that takes your breath away. But I know any amount of wounds that I heal while I'm here, or peace that I make with what's happened, or the reality of my life, as soon as I go back to my hometown, it's just gonna rip all off again. Like, I already know that's gonna happen because I have to face so much when we get home. I have to sort his ashes, sort his memorial, listen to the inquest, see reports and horrific stuff. There's things when I'm in a different country, it's not apparent that it is apparent. It is completely apparent, but I'm not in that routine that I used to be in of having Kobe every other weekend. So the fact that I'm not seeing him will probably be a lot more raw and in my face, especially when I go home and, I'm decorating the new house and decorating his bedroom and stuff like that. Like for Christmas, the year just gone. Me and Luke had brought him loads of stuff to decorate his bedroom. He's absolutely superhero obsessed. So we've got all these like Marvel lights for his room and so much stuff that he got for Christmas. And it's just like, how sad is it that I'm going to decorate a room that he might never sleep in? It's just heartbreaking, to be honest. And that's going to be a big reality. I'm excited to go home and be with Luke's stuff though. Like that's one thing I miss. I'm like, just opening his memory box and like looking at the stuff and just all of that. So I know it's going to be really, really intense when I go home, but I'm ready to deal with that when it comes, and I know that I'll have the most amazing support around me as well. So, and I'm also going to have things to focus on. Although there's going to be a lot of like difficult things that are happening and difficult things that I'm having to overcome, it's also trying to find the positivity in that I'm blessed enough to move into a beautiful new house that I can make my home, try and make my home as best as I can. I get the opportunity to still have time off work and live my life. There's quite a few things that I've got in the pipeline I mentioned before that I want to explore, and I can just take time
something that not everybody is blessed with and not everybody has the opportunity to have. So I do have to count my blessings in so many ways and be grateful for all the good things I have and all the reasons to smile every day, because in every day there is a reason to smile. So if you haven't yet smiled or found a reason to smile, think of one now. Could be as simple as your morning coffee was great, or do you know what? Don't even just find a reason to make yourself smile. Find a reason to make someone else smile as well. Find a reason to cheer someone else up. Find a reason to be kind to someone else. You shouldn't need a reason to be kind to someone else, but go out of your way to be kind to somebody else, because you never know what people are dealing with. Like, I met those girls yesterday and I sat and chat with them for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And it feels like this deep, dark secret that Luke's dead. Like, I don't like bringing it up because people look at you different. People don't know what to say. I don't want to make people feel, not that I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable, because that's not the case at all, but it does make people feel uncomfortable. And for just one moment, I didn't want that feeling of people's opinions kind of changing, if that makes sense, because people then kind of don't know what to say. And this is why people need to talk about grief more, to normalize that. So if I turn around in a conversation and say, yeah, my husband's dead, they don't go and like backtrack and like don't know what to say. But it did come out in conversation eventually, but they didn't know I was carrying that, and they were so lovely to me. They made me feel so warm and welcome and nice, and you know, that really made my day in a time when I needed a friend. Like, I had a really, really rough morning yesterday, and it was just nice to go out and socialize and be with like girls and laugh and smile and stuff. And I feel like that quite a lot. Like, people walk past me in the street, especially more so when I was in Nottingham, and they don't know what I was carrying. Like, I went out a few days after Luke died, and had someone and even looked at me the wrong way, I think I would have burst out crying. So always be kind in everything you do. If it's the one thing you do today, continue to be kind and find a reason to be grateful for everything, the little things. Look around you now and think of all the things that you're grateful for, because there are so many things people take for granted, and we're so blessed to have this life. But anyway, last of all the heartfelt crap, let's go to the Q&A, because it's juicy. So question number one, I've got, what else is on your bucket list? So for those that don't know, me and Luke made a bucket list, added to it when he was in the hospital. So far I've done skydive, I've done a hot air balloon, I've come to Australia, I'm traveling, which is, that's like an ongoing one. So within the bucket list, I've got a holiday list and a gig list as well, so I'm trying to take places off those things. What else have I done? It's kind of a bit of a grey area, but we wanted to get a matching tattoo. We couldn't do that, so I've just got tattoos for Luke, so I counted that, because else we're never going to be able to take that one off the list. I feel like there was other things. But what else is on the bucket list? You know what? This is so bugging, because I haven't got it with me. I wrote it all down in a booklet, but I've had to leave it in Australia, so it's in my case there. So I would read the whole thing out, but I can't. But some of the main things that were there was doing the NC500 in Scotland, traveling in a camper van. You know, like how people convert the vans and just go traveling, like up and down the UK, or we hadn't really decided where, we just knew we wanted to do like some van traveling. Ice skating in Canada, that was definitely more my thing, but Luke was like obsessed with watching me ice skate, so I used to figure skate, so he was like, oh my gosh, yeah, that would be amazing. I don't want to give too much away, because I like the element of surprise, but there's so many amazing things on there. A lot of the holiday list is like massive, like all the countries that we want to visit, gig list as well. I've booked tickets for Bring Me the Horizon. That was one of the biggest ones on there. So I've got tickets for that next year. So exciting. Just slowly taking it off and just going out and making those memories and living those experiences. And it's so nice to actually document it as well. So the book I've got gives you an opportunity to stick photos and like receipts or tickets and things, and then you've got a page about like talking about when it happened, how it happened, how it made you feel. And that's so nice, so I'm so excited to keep filling that up and being able to look back on it. Question number two is, what do you miss most from home? So, obviously Luke, because my association with him is home. But my cats, I miss cats so much. Like, who knew you could miss furry people so much? Just like having the presence of a cat just makes you feel so less alone. They're just the best little things ever, and I miss their little voices. Oh, I can't wait to squeeze them. I obviously miss my best friends and my family so much. Like, they're just being able to go out for coffee with them, just have a hug, sit and talk, sit and vent. Like, friendships are amazing, and my circle of friends are just incredible, and I miss them all so dearly. I can't wait to go home and squeeze them all and love on them all. But I know they're only a phone call away. They've been so supportive, and I talk to them every day. So I'm very, very, very lucky. I miss, like I say, the little things, the reminders of Luke, his stuff, and because I couldn't bring much with me. Of course, I miss my little Coburrito, my boy. I miss him crazy amounts. Just miss hearing his voice and his little personality and just his light that he shines with him everywhere. And it's just that complete cut. You know, it's not like I'm away from him, but I can FaceTime him or whatever. It's just like completely nothing. Like, I haven't seen a picture of him apart from the ones I've got, but I've not seen any like recent pictures of him or anything like that. So that's quite difficult. Yeah, I miss him tons and tons and tons, and I'm hoping one day I'll be able to see that little face again. Wish his little cheekies. Question number three. I don't really understand this one, to be honest. I suppose I do. I don't know. Do you feel like you are trying to capitalize on Luke's death? Now, I actually had to Google what capitalize meant because I didn't really understand the context. So, the official definition of capitalize is to take the chance to gain advantage from. So, somebody is asking me if I feel like I have gained an advantage on Luke's death. What? Genuinely, just what? I don't know what advantage I can have from Luke dying. If that refers to the advantage of building a community that Luke already built and sharing his journey and raising awareness, guilty as charged. That community is amazing. He built that community, and if I can use that platform to raise awareness and continue to share, is that capitalizing on his death? I'm not sure. I'm not really sure how it works. I don't understand the context of the question. I just find it difficult because I feel like I've been under so much scrutiny for continuing to share about Luke's journey. And I haven't from probably 98% of people, but there is that odd comment that comes through. And I just think I see so many other people share their grief journeys, and not one has shared about getting hate or questions and stuff like that. Especially not like there's quite a few people that have shared child loss and their grief journeys, and you don't see people pointing fingers there. So I just find it weird that people feel the need to question it. Like, a comment that got made to me by a specific person was about becoming an influencer of his death. And I just think, what the fuck am I trying to influence? Like, the only influence I'm trying to have on people is to sign up for organ donation and blood donation, which is something that we've done the whole time he was in hospital. And do you know what? It's fucking working. Speaking about it, people are interested, people are invested, and I don't make videos, I don't share this journey just for the people. Like, it's also very healing for me to look back on. And when Luke shared his entire journey on social media, we didn't have many people following. We had, you know, a few hundred people, the transplant community and stuff like that, and they were amazing supports, but we weren't talk in thousands, but we still continued to share it because it wasn't the point of publicizing it to the masses. It was about helping one person, and it was also for Luke to document it to look back on. And that's the same with me now. Like, I can share this, and I would continue to share it whether I had one follower or 1,000 followers. I am not creating content, as people call it, for, like, I'm not forcing people to watch or follow or anything like that. Like, but people do get invested and people get interested. And the fact that I have been able to go into newspapers, magazines, on the radio, and that's amazing for organ donation. TikTok, you never post a video on TikTok and expect it to go viral, but a few of mine have done. And they make people click on your profile, look at Luke's story, and realize why he died, or see the message about organ donation. And so many people have messaged saying that they've either signed up for organ or blood donation. That's fucking amazing. That is amazing. And we are, quote from my favorite songs, we're about to do amazing things. There's so many things, as I keep saying, I've got in the pipeline that I want to do on the back of Luke passing away. Yeah, it's a fucking shit circumstance, but if we can make something out of that, make him a legacy, which he already has, but make that legacy huge, I'm gonna fucking do it. Of course I am. The longer we talk about him, the more we keep his, what he wanted to do, his vision for life alive. He never truly dies. He never truly dies, because we do everything in our power to continue to keep him alive. Question number, I think it's 4, I'm not really sure. Can you explain your recent tattoos? Do you have any more planned? So, like I say, me and Luke had a bucket list of to get matching tattoos. He always wanted the coordinates of where we met, so I got those on my arm. I then got his date of birth and his date of death on my wrist. If you know or have seen pictures, I already had a heart, an anatomical heart on my arm, and I had a exact copy of his ECG on my wrist, so I had his date of birth and death just between those two. I then got his name on my other wrist and a rainbow, because Luke's sign is rainbows, and I just wanted his name on me. It makes me smile every time I look at my wrist. And then on my forearm, I went and got a lizard. If you know Luke, don't know Luke, but you've heard me talk about it, his favourite insult was to call people a lizard, a fucking lizard, any kind of lizard. I don't even know where it came from. It didn't even make sense, but that's just what he used to say. That is such a, like, a Luke thing that people associate him with. Like, he even got gifts of lizards and stuff. Like, he made Kobe laugh by calling him a lizard. Just, like, so many things. He was just known for that. So, got my little lizard, and then I also got some flowers around that. So I got irises, which are known as the rainbow flower. Again, rainbows, just obsessed with rainbows. And Iris was also the goddess of the rainbow. So that is why Luke was into his mythology. He had a mythology sleeve as well, so that just felt quite fitting. Then I also got a sunflower, because Luke means light, and sunflowers are the flower of light. And my middle name is Lucy, which also means light, so that's just nice, isn't it? Do I have any more tattoos planned? Yes, I want to be covered head to toe in tattoos. I've got so many things that I want. I never wanted to be one of those girls that had, like, song lyrics on me, but now me and Luke have music was such a strong foundation in our relationship. So so many little lyrics and lines, like our first dance song and, like, a couple of Don Broker stuff, and I'm like, just cover me in lyrics, honestly, at this point. But yeah, there's quite a few more that I've got planned. Definitely some more special ones for sure. Might fuck around and just get his face tattooed on me or something. Imagine. When do you feel like your grief hits you the most? For me, since I've been solo traveling, it's kind of been like after I wake up, when I'm not really sure what to do with my day, and I just, nobody's really awake, like my phone's not going off, I'm not in conversations with anyone, and I've just got that time to myself. That's when I felt like it's been the most consuming. It's also, but when I was in Australia, it was more the evening, so more like bed, when I was getting into bed, and I would just sit on my phone and like scroll through pictures, and I just miss him and long for him and just want his presence. And the only thing I could do to fill that void was listen to videos and his voices and stuff, and then they'd make me so emotional. But then also, like, my grief can just hit me just randomly. Like, it would just be like a tornado wave, and the next thing I know, I'm crying. Like, I went out for dinner the other day, and I was just sat there eating my dessert, and all of a sudden I was just thinking about Luke being my home and having to go back to Nottingham and face what I kind of spoke about earlier. And I was literally sobbing into my creme brulee, absolutely bawling my eyes out. So I think it's not linear when it hits. It will come whenever it wants to. It will rear its head whenever it feels it needs to. There is patterns in terms of, you know, what you're doing and when your brain slows down. That's forever changing. So yeah, quite a hard one, because it's so dependent on so many things. Next question is, how do you handle the grief when other people want you on a timeline of recovery? To be honest with you, I do understand this, and I have seen, you know, a lot of people talking about you kind of getting over it and moving on. And, you know, people say to me, oh, but you're so young. I remember having that one question saying, oh, but you're so young, you know, you can move on and settle down and essentially find someone else. And I was like, are you fucking joking? What the fuck? Why would you say that to somebody that just lost their husband, the love of their life? Like, that actually baffles me. I have never been a person to follow expectations or to be bothered about opinions of people and things like that. Like, I'm very strong-willed, and so things like that don't bother me. If people have a certain expectation of how it should look when I'm grieving or how long that should take, then that's on them. That doesn't need to bother me. It doesn't need to concern me. I will do whatever it takes me to get through this. I will be grieving for the rest of my life. There is not a day in my life when I will not think about Luke. And the people that think that there's a timeline to grief have never lost somebody so significant that they understand that. So they should be very, very grateful for that. And I'm very glad for them that they've never had to experience this kind of heartache, because had you have done that, you would understand that there's no timeline. Next question, are you getting any hate for the way you deal with your grief, and how do you manage it? Yeah, I would say that there has been hate. However, it's come from very minority of people, seem to be all from the same circle. So that doesn't concern me, because it's just people trying to hurt me. And it doesn't bother me. It only makes them look bitter and mean and rude. Again, like the last question, I feel like if you're placing judgment on how somebody grieves, then you have not been in a position where you've felt grief that intensely, because you should never judge it until you've been in that situation. I had never dealt with grief like this before, but I still would not have passed judgment. I try and ignore it, but sometimes it is difficult. But then it also reminds me of why I'm sharing this, because the more people that talk about grief and the more people that normalize it, the less it becomes that uncomfortable conversation, the less it becomes that taboo situation. And that needs to happen. We can't judge other people. Like, if I see somebody being completely private with their grief, I don't go over to them and say, you need to share this, because it's not my business. It's not my fucking business. The one thing I can compare it to is weddings. This is the analogy that I've come up with. So the point of a wedding is getting married. It's marrying that person, that one person that you're deeply, deeply in love with. You could go to a registry office, sign a piece of paper, and you're married. You could have a £100,000 wedding with hundreds of people, you know, and have the most lavish thing, fireworks, DJ, all the trimmings that you could think of. And what happens at the end of the day? You're still married. And it's the same with grief. Like, no matter what you do to deal with it, you're still grieving. And nobody else gets to pass judgment on that. If that's what makes you feel better or makes you be able to cope with it,
So fucking be it. If you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. If you want to scream it from the rooftops, that's also fine. If some days you want to scream it from the rooftops and sometimes you want to hide away, that's fine. Do whatever you need to do to get through that grief. Do whatever you want to do. No two persons is the same. No two losses are the same. So no one can judge that. No one can comment on that. Next question. This one comes with a trigger warning, which I thought was quite polite. Has it ever crossed your mind that it's too painful to be Earthside dealing with the loss of Luke? Oh, yes, 100%. Anyone that says no to this probably isn't being truthful. What's the point? What's the point in living? What's the point in existing when you haven't got that person? It would be much easier if you weren't alive. That crosses your mind. However, they are never thoughts that I would act on. They were never thoughts with any intent behind them, because I also am so grateful for this life. And I know, mate, if I went and did anything to myself, I would not only be inflicting that grief on everyone else then, I would also be wasting so many opportunities and wasting a life that Luke wasn't fortunate to have. Like, he wasn't blessed with time, and I am blessed with time, and I don't know how much time that is, but I have to make the most of that. And how kind of hypocritical would it be of me to stand here and talk about life and loss and death and then go and end my life? And I know, like, one day, hopefully, we'll be reunited when it's our time, and at that time, I'll never have to let him go again. But until that day, I have to make the most of every second. So when I get there, I can say, look at all the things I did for us. Like, look at all the experiences I had. And I just know that he'll be so proud of that. So that keeps me going to continue to want to live. And I have so many reasons to live. I have so many more reasons to live than to not live. So you're stuck with me. When do you think you'll date again? Now, this is a crazy question. Definitely not for a very long time. However, it hasn't not crossed my mind that at one point in my life I might meet someone new again, and that is like the scariest thought. But I've like questioned it. I've gone, holy fuck, like I've got, you know, potentially 60-70 years on this earth still, and I'm not naive enough to think that I won't meet someone or settle down again, but it's definitely not something I could consider for a very, 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 very long time. And I know what it's like to be loved so unconditionally, and how anyone would ever compare to that again, I just don't know. I really don't. I'm just content at building my own life for now, and hopefully, you know, focusing on the house and my career and baby barns and stuff. So for now, there's definitely no plans to get out there. Anyway, guys, I've been rambling on for a very long time now. I'm gonna go get ready and face the day, but I hope you're all okay. I hope you're having a lovely day, whatever you're doing. And not sure what the next episode is going to be yet. Drop me a message if you've got any suggestions. Obviously, the plan is to cover Luke's journey. It's just quite a big topic. I haven't got my notebook or anything, so I've had to do this all without any notes, which is fine because I can talk for England. But with his journey, because there's so many like dates and timelines, and I have so many things to go through, it's nice to have it in front of me to prompt me when I'm talking. But we'll see how I feel. Hopefully we'll have another one up next Friday again. I will see you all soon. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you all for your support. Love you guys.